Ghost Ship Radio Network.
Sail onward.
Banterbox Radio. Where's the beef?
Hey everybody, welcome back to Banterbox Radio. This is episode 87 for this November the 8th, 2016. My name is Thomas Towson, and this other guy, he's Dan. He's Dan Knight.
That's who he is. Sure he is. He is that though. Yep.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah?
I.
And he my is. Axe. So yeah. We are back again this week to do the same thing we do every week, which is, Dan, what do we do?
I don't know. I'm not really. I don't care.
What's that?
I said I don't care.
Oh, you don't care?
I quit, actually.
Oh, thank God. That saves me from having to fire you.
Good.
You're fired.
I don't get. Do I get a severance?
You're fired.
Severance package?
No. No, because there's no money to be severanced.
That's a word.
So, what do we do? Because you're not. You showed up and everything, so we should probably finish it out.
I just came here to get my last paycheck.
There really isn't a paycheck. I swear to you.
You said that at the end of this, there would be a paycheck.
I did not.
Okay, I may have imagined that part, but that still constitutes a binding legal contract.
You know, when you're right, you're right.
Give and me my I $2.
Owe you. Yeah, your $2, yes.
We give people news.
Great.
Period. That's it. That's all we do.
You heard it here. We give people news. Period.
We give them news periods.
I mean, kind of. I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah.
We're gonna find.
I can't quite explain what we do.
Well, what we do is we find the weirdest news that we can each week, and we sort of spit it in your face.
Okay. All right. Yeah that makes sense then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just shout it at you, and a little bit of spittle comes out, and it just sort of you know like when you yell too much and you accidentally spittle a little bit, and it just sort of flies out,
and then it hits your lips, and then you lick them.
That's right. Yeah,
lick the new spittle up.
Oh God, that's what's gonna happen. But it's actually more like ear. It's gonna go into your ears.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
and so you're gonna lick it up from your ears.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you can
get the ear tongues out and just lap it up.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we're going to get to that momentarily, but before we do, today is a pretty important day.
I'm sure it is.
No, it really is. I think there's one that we all are going to be going out and doing today, I hope, as citizens of these fine here States United.
That's true.
We'll be going out and celebrating, of course, National Harvey Wallbanger Day. That's right. We will be making Harvey Wallbangers.
I love that song.
And I think you're supposed to do something about, like, there's like voting or something today too, but that's kind of a back burner item, really.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what's a harvest?
Harvest?
Wallsbrang?
What?
What is it called?
A Harvey Wallbanger. Do you not know what a Harvey Wallbanger is?
That's a sex move?
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, it's a drink. It's three parts vodka, one part Galliano, and six parts orange juice poured into a highball glass and garnished with an orange slice and a maraschino cherry.
Wow. Something tells me.
Oh, it was on the top of my head. You're right. It was right here in the old headspace.
It sounded like it just came out so authentically.
So I guess celebrate by drinking, because I think we're all going to need to after today.
That's right.
We're going to need a lot of drinks to get through this mess that we got to go through today.
Take them with you into the polling booth.
Honestly,
that might be okay to get
me through. Yeah.
Just me and my two friends, Harvey Wallbanger and Banger Wall Harveys.
You got to bang those Wall Harveys. You got to watch out for them too. So
do that, I guess, and I guess go do your civic duty or whatever. Who cares? Moving on, though, let me tell you that we're going to start the news right now. Go, right now.
Oh, go. Now.
Now, please. Ah, oh, damn it. See, you know, it was going to be real. If we had been on the ball, we would have looked professional here. Like, boom.
Oh.
Pow-pow. That's the noise it would have made.
Pow-pow.
Yeah.
Okay. A Mississippi lawyer has decided to let Popeyes off the hook.
Like the spinach eater guy? The guy with the muscles and the skinny lady, olive oil?
That baby, for some reason, there's a baby in the mix?
Yeah, baby Parmesan. And I don't remember the baby's name.
Baby Parmesan. Yeah, that sounds about right. Mr. Paul M. Newton, Jr.
Oh, of the fig!
Of the fig variety. shares his harrowing tale when he visited the chicken chain. Says he ordered two breasts, red beans and rice, a biscuit, and a soft drink.
As opposed to a hard drink.
That's right.
That's a weird inflection you have there. A soft drink.
As opposed to a Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah, it's a very hard drink.
Left at the drive-thru without a knife, Mr. Newton was forced to use his teeth to tear off pieces of the chicken. Can you believe that?
Wait, is this Paul Newton? The guy who's saying, "You got a friend in me"?
That's exactly not right.
Oh, wait, that was Newman.
That was Mr. Randolph Newman's own.
That's dressing. Right. He makes the salsa and the dressing.
And the dressing. And he also makes fig Newmans.
Yes, he does. He sure does.
So
I love fig Newmans.
It goes back to the figs. So back to this poor, poor man chicken with his teeth.
Let's go back to the figs. Did you know when you eat figs that there are dead wasps inside?
You know that figs are made up of dead wasps?
Yeah.
That's not even a fruit. It's just dead wasps.
That's not true. But they do use it as an intermediary or as a helping hand to lay their eggs. Sometimes the mothers go in there and they lay their eggs and the eggs hatch out of the figs.
Right.
But when they do, it's such a tight squeeze, their wings and some of their legs rip off while they're trying to get in. So they can't get out sometimes and they just sort of decompose inside. So when you eat a fig, sometimes there's, you know, decomposed wasp inside that's been absorbed by the fig, though.
Yeah. So it's all good.
It's like a crunchy center, but it's, you know.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, tell me about Popeye.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Yeah.
Well, he's not really involved in this. It's more of the chicken chain Popeyes. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a chicken chain called
Popeyes. I'm kidding. I'm from the South.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. Anyway, so this guy, this poor gentleman, had to eat his chicken breast using his teeth.
What? What? Tell me he didn't have hot sauce, too. That's what you're going to say next. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
When was the last time you had to eat your food with your teeth?
Never. Usually I use my whole mouth.
That is a good answer. So the act put him in a difficult situation, and soon he found himself choking on his chicken.
Oh, there it is. That's what this whole thing's all about, isn't it? You just wanted to say choking your chicken.
He was choking the chicken.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all fun and games. He apparently had to receive emergency surgery to remove the chicken from his throat.
Wow, he gets to eat it twice?
It's true.
Wow.
And it's even better the second time around.
I bet.
With all that blood.
It's softened up and stuff? Yeah.
Well, you got to pour it. That's what the soft drink is for.
Oh, I see.
He originally was going to sue the chain, seeking compensation for his medical expenses, pain and suffering, punitive damages, and a jury trial.
Jury.
He felt that plastic knives are needed to be sent alongside the chicken in order to cut the breast into appropriate portions. Obviously, some found this to be silly.
Yeah, you know, people have been eating chicken for a long time.
This is correct. Quote, if you choke on your chicken and you have to get the chicken removed from your throat, it's not because Popeyes didn't apply a knife to the box, former Popeyes employee Tori Stokes told WLOX.
WLOX.
Maybe you should slow down eating. Nobody eats chicken with utensils. This is correct.
It's weird. I've seen people do it, and it's weird. You just dive in, right? I mean, I don't. But you dive in. You just sort of like, you start making cones out of your hands. You know what I mean? You get the That's dagger right. hands and you just dive in yeah. and you split them apart and you start ripping it like a savage.
Like a savage.
Yep.
You don't eat it with a knife and a fork. It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where they're eating the candy bar with a knife and fork.
Yeah,
did you ever see that
yeah,
episode?
Yeah. Yep.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Seinfeld. Good joke. I'm glad we had this moment.
Boodly boodly bang bong.
Dank. All right.
Mr. Newton has since dropped the suit as he began receiving, quote, extreme comments directed at me and my family.
extreme comments, brother. You better throw that utensil out. What kind of man doesn't eat his chicken with his teeth, brother? Oh, yeah. You're the cream of the crop.
But he won't rise to the top.
No, he won't, because he dropped the suit.
Yeah, he'll choke on his chicken.
He'll choke on his chicken.
Okay.
So, just a word of the wise, if you're eating chicken breast.
Yes, I'm with you. Yes. If I'm eating chicken breast.
Use your mouth, not just your teeth.
Okay, yep. I gotcha.
And if you use utensils.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Then you need to, you're trash, and you need to be put in the trash.
Wow, those are harsh. Yeah. We're taking a firm stand on this, apparently. Yeah.
They didn't, this isn't in the article, but I'll give you a sclusy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Those extreme
comments. That's a good word, yeah. That's a good
extreme,
word.
One of those extreme comments was from me, and I called him trash.
Oh, wow.
For using utensils.
Yeah. Man, that's fringe reporting right
that's
there.
That's sclusy.
That is hard-hitting news.
And I am
that you created because you are doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I created that.
And okay.
And also, I need to remember to make that comment to this guy after the show's
you
over.
Said you already did.
That's right, I did.
Yeah.
So.
You no don't need. Have to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't right? have, you have to worry about it.
Okay, good.
It's all done.
Okay. Let's move on. A Chinese police department is pushing, or not pushing, they're not pushing anybody, actually.
Oh, okay.
They're
shoving.
Yeah, no, not even that. They're punishing drivers who abuse their high beams by making them sit in front of a car with its brights on for a minute.
Ah, that's not fun.
Shenzhen Traffic Police posted photos to their official Weibo account.
I'm sorry?
To Weibo. The official Weibo account showing various people being made to sit in a special green chair placed directly in front of a car with its high beam headlights blasting directly toward their faces. Quote, "Tonight we are carrying out punishments using a high beam," the post reads. "Driving with high beams blinding drivers traveling in the opposite direction carries a $44 fine in China," and police told reporters sitting in front of the high beams for 60 seconds is optional. They don't have to do it.
Oh, but they could pay. They have to.
Well, but it was unclear whether sitting in front of the beams was an alternative to paying the fine or just an additional punishment.
So like, hey, do you want to punish yourself?
Yeah, I don't really get that. I'm guessing that there's some lost information here. I'm guessing that it's like you
one
can either pay
other.
Your fine or you can sit in front of this high beam for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why people would volunteer to do that.
Mm. What's the quality of your eyesight worth? Is it worth $44? Because, I mean, sitting and staring at a high beam for a full 60 seconds is going to do a tiny, minute, minuscule amount of damage. Permanent damage, likely.
Probably, yeah.
So, you got to value your eyesight. Is it worth $44 to have, like, slightly better eyesight?
No.
Nah. Just, who cares?
I could use that $44 for so many things.
Yeah, like new eyeballs.
That's...
Boom! Gotcha, Chinese government!
Didn't think of that.
Looking real silly right now. Where was I? I was here. Some commenters blasted the practice as a, quote, human rights violation. But many residents fed up with drivers who abused their bright voice support for the Shenzhen Traffic Police's initiative. So people are, you know, you got your sort of usual split of people like, that's wrong. That's wrong and evil. And the other people are like, heck them. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use such harsh language. I don't know. Sure, why not? But at the same time, it's weird.
I can't even remember, because, I mean, I live in the city, so, like, I don't use my high beams, really.
No.
If I'm on, like, a lonely stretch of highway.
Yep.
Or, like, on a backwoods road, but I rarely even remember I have high beams now. I used to live in... like a back like a backwoods town,
mm-hmm.
and it was all
you
dirt
had
roads.
To use it.
You had to use it because if you didn't, you were going to hit animals.
Yep, or anything. Really. Or lots of turns.
It was
lots
pitch
of
black.
Yep.
And it was just common, like, you know, you saw headlights coming in your direction. You click that thing back to
yep.
regular. I a couple of years ago, I actually drove around probably for a week or two with high beams on exclusively
Huge.
Because one of my bulbs.
Yeah, it's the eternal struggle.
Yeah, the standard bulb was blown out.
sometimes, because a bulb is what? Like, how much does a bulb cost?
It's not that much.
It's not
maybe
much.
Maybe
like $20, right?
If that. For like a pack of four
yeah,
or
yeah,
three
yeah.
or so.
So sometimes you got to pay the asshole sort of charge, right? So
yeah.
instead of paying the money for the bulbs, you leave your high beams on and you're just like, oh no, officer, I didn't forget. My bulb's not out. I'm just a dick.
Yeah. Or I didn't realize I was blinding everyone I was driving past.
We've all done it. We've all done it. Everyone listening
you're
has
guilty.
Done it. Yeah, so that's it. I guess don't go to China. I don't know. There's no real lesson to be learned here. Maybe just don't go to China. Just
don't drive with your high beams on.
In China.
Yeah. But do it anywhere else.
It's yeah, fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. That is a lesson.
This is
I mean, it's not a great lesson, but it is a lesson
yeah.
in some way.
In some way. Okay, moving on.
The head of the University of New Mexico is under fire for spending taxpayer money for personal reasons.
Oh, no.
How dare he? Those reasons being, he wanted to hunt for Bigfoot.
That's a good reason.
That's a good reason. You know, these opportunities don't come around every day.
Well, you know, how many... Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Christopher Dyer put together a two-day Bigfoot conference and expedition following.
Ooh, I like it.
The costs including advertising, meals, airfare, and per diems for guest speakers like self-professed Bigfoot expert Dr. Jeff Meldrum.
Wow.
The
guy I've never heard of, but yeah, this...
The self-professed Bigfoot expert.
So this guy was serious.
Yeah.
This guy's putting up like a straight up old fashioned expedition together.
Yeah.
Wow.
And but it was actually
his reputation's on the line now. He's made it so big that he's going to look like a real fool if they don't get Bigfoot.
They don't catch him. So needless to say, Dyer is a Bigfoot enthusiast.
Needless.
And and claims he goes hunting for the mythical beast on his free time. He doesn't do it on, you know, when he's supposed to be working for the university.
Yeah.
You know, just on his free time.
Free time. Yeah, I get it.
Following the conference, Dyer and some of his friends went out into the desert looking for Bigfoot himself.
Ooh, you know things are going to work. You know, because the first place I think of when I think of Bigfoot is desert.
It is desert.
All those, like...
That classic photo
yeah,
of him
that was,
walking
that
in
was
the desert.
Desert. Yep. That's right. Known desert traveler, Bigfoot. great wandering nomad that he is. Anyway,
you know, not many people know this, but that long, thick coat of hair actually kills him.
Kills him. Yes. You know, it. In their defense, I don't think anyone's looked in the desert for Bigfoot.
I guess that's true. You should look for Nessie in the desert too. Quote, I'd have to say it was pretty much a blown waste of money because we did not find evidence because of the snow.
Oh.
It was just impossible to get around out there.
Uh-huh.
So in that case, yeah, we would spend money on that again? Absolutely not, Dyer said.
Oh, yeah? Oh, geez.
So, added bonus, he spent $7,000 on all of that. All this Bigfoot
taters.
Stuff. And so, but he apparently is not facing really any repercussions. He was just kind of like, you know, people spend money on scientific exploits all the time. Just because this is about Bigfoot, you know, it shouldn't change anything.
Yeah, but I feel like his reputation might be ruined now.
Maybe a little bit. It may be a little splotchy.
Tarnished, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, you could really say this. This whole situation was a bit dire. Back to you, Jim.
Get out. Get out. Get out. Jim's dead. It's you're next.
Oh my god. Whoa. Everything's going so fast. Moving on. So, Dan, are you familiar with the movie made popular by a few choice lines from none other than Samuel L. Jacksman? Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, okay.
I'm sick of all these
pulp
price or these wage gaps in this heckin' America. That's what he said. No, so what he really said was something involving planes. Anyway, so the real life thing happened. A poisonous snake sparked panic on a plane after it dropped from an overhead compartment mid-flight. Shocked passengers traveling to Mexico City took footage of the 5-foot-long green viper as it dropped down to the seats below.
5 feet long?
Yeah, it's a little tiny baby snake. You know, a little baby snake. Only five feet long. It was almost the size of a full-grown human. No worries. It's all right. It's baby stuff. A university professor who was on the flight told how he captured it with a blanket, but showed he had retained his sense of humor and joked he had kept it entertained by giving it an in-flight magazine to read.
He's a pip.
What a wacky professor he is. I bet he's a professor of goofology.
Get out.
The incident is said to have happened on Sunday afternoon during a 2-hour Aeromexico flight between Torreon in the northern state of Coahuila.
Oh, really?
Nailed it. First try.
It sounded like you were just kind of throwing up a little bit.
In the Mexican capital. The plane's pilot was reportedly given permission to make a priority landing when he reached his final destination, the movie, and animal control experts alerted so they could board when it arrived and take the reptile away. The person who caught the snake, Professor Indalecio Medina, was quoted saying, quote, "The snake arrived alive and kicking, frightened, but without having paid its airfare." What a peach.
This guy.
What a peach. What a peach.
Is this the guy that gave the snake the magazine to read?
Yeah, same guy. He's really utilizing that degree in goofology.
He really is.
He's taught me a thing or two. He's a good professor.
I don't think he's taught you anything.
I think he's taught me a lot, Dan. Will you shut your mouth? God.
You've learned nothing from my courses.
All right, you've got one more for us, Dan, do you not?
I do. A bizarre story out of Kiev, Ukraine, where iPhone 7 is celebrating his winnings.
I'm sorry, that's, I think you misread.
I did not. Are you confused? That sentence sounds bizarre, right?
Yeah, I think I might have figured it out, but tell me all about it.
iPhone 7 is a person.
I figured, yeah.
Once known as Alexander Turin, he legally changed his name to iPhone 7 in order to win the coveted phone in a contest.
I like that he didn't just go with iPhone. He went all the way. Hello, my name is iPhone. Yeah, my name is iPhone 7. Not 6. It's not good enough. iPhone 7.
Hopefully next year he'll upgrade, though, and he'll change his last name.
Yeah, is he
going to
have to do that every year, like get a firmware update on his name?
I hope so. While many people are scoffing at his brash decision, the breakdown is this. In Ukraine, an iPhone 7 will run you $850 American.
That's a lot of dollars, Jim. Back to you.
While changing your name costs $2.
Oh, all right, cool.
So the choice... not so bad, yeah. I guess, if you consider. Mr. Seven says he might change his name back when he has kids. His sister, Tatiana Panina, said, quote, "It was difficult to accept that and hard to believe it's true." She added, "Each person in this world is looking for a way to express himself. Why not to do that in this way?"
Well, maybe because that's not really a good form of expression, especially since he used it to win a contest.
Yeah, it's not really expression if you're doing it for a selfish goal.
And what I want to know is, what were the rules of the contest? Was it just change your name to this, you get a phone?
Yes.
He just won. How about, what if a bunch of people did it? What was their contingency plan? Did they all win?
Everybody wins.
Wow.
I feel like
I'll change my name. Hey, Dan, nice to meet you. I'm iPhone 7.
Get out.
Gibby. Gimme, please.
Gibby. I am iPhone 7 Gibby. But yeah, so...
Win in Russia.
There was a contest for back in the day when the Wii was...
Whoa, you're going too far back.
That's like before dinosaurs.
That's before I was born.
The Wii... Uh-huh. There was a radio station, I think, that had a contest called, it was like, Hold Your Wii for a Wii. And it was just people who didn't...
They couldn't pee. Yeah.
And someone died.
Right? Yeah, they died.
A woman died because I think her bladder exploded or something.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. They had a similar thing where it was, you know, drinking massive amounts of water and someone died.
Oh,
for
yeah.
a different radio. It was a radio contest.
Like maybe their stomach?
Yeah. Just, I can't remember. But yeah, so, yeah, maybe, I think the lesson on that one's, actually, no, there's no lesson.
There's
good
no
on
lesson.
Him. It cost him $2. He got a phone. He gamed the system.
You did it, pal.
Keep it up, man. Nah. iPhone 7.
iPhone 7.
This show sponsored. It's not. That was a joke.
It's not.
It's not sponsored.
We don't have sponsors. We may at
we
some
may.
Point.
Ooh, hey, you're hinting. Ooh.
That could be something
Ooh.
Coming down the line.
Hey.
If we stop being lazy.
I walked the line.
Oh, is that true?
Nope.
Jay Cash.
All right, let's... hello, my name is Jay Cash. All right, let's end this week with... I think it's a classic kind of scenario. Your classic sort of...
Bantabacks?
Yeah, I think so. Edward Michael Dorsey, a 54-year-old living in... Where, Daniel? That's right. Florida.
Oh...
Was arrested on a domestic battery charge earlier this morning that may have been influenced by drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol in my Florida?
How dare you?
The heck you say? Officers took Dorsey to a local hospital to be evaluated by emergency room staff. He was about to be discharged and taken to the Pinellas County Jail for booking. That's when he took out his glass eye... Even though hospital personnel and a police officer told him not to.
Don't do it.
According to the police report, Dorsey ignored those orders. Hell no, I won't go.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the lights off, carry me home.
I think
those are lyrics to a song at one point.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's Say It Ain't So, I Will Not Go. That's
yeah,
what it was.
The first couple of lines, I think, are from something entirely different.
Probably. Who knows? So... He ignored all those orders and said, in true Florida man style, quote, I can do whatever I feel like doing. That's what he said. It's confirmed. It's a secret. Secrets,
this happened.
Secrets hurt no one. He then allegedly hurled the glass eye at the ER doctor and nurse, but it's unclear whether it hit anyone. But he did. He took his eye out. He said, yeah, I can do whatever I want to do, and then threw his eye at somebody. Still, the officers tacked on a charge of battery on an emergency medical care provider to the existing domestic battery charge. Dorsey is currently behind bars on a $30,000 bail, $5,000 of which is for the allegedly eye-tossing incident.
It's going to cost you.
And jail records indicate that the suspect has the words, Dorsey Touch. Tattooed on his forearm. He's got the Dorsey touch.
What?
I think you know.
No, I don't.
Well, I think it's one for the ages.
Is
right?
Dorsey touch like his signature move?
Well,
like,
I mean, his last name is Dorsey, so I think he's like, I've got the Dorsey touch. I'm a big man. I'm important.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe.
I thought that maybe that was like throwing his eyeball at somebody is considered the Dorsey touch.
Maybe. Maybe it is. Maybe it's his signature wrestling move. Yeah, maybe you're right. Get ready for the Dorsey touch, brother.
Okay, Macho Man.
Macho Man mixed with what's his face? The one that says brother.
Hulk?
Hulk Hogan. Hey, you a Hulkamaniac, brother? Well, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something at Hulkamania 2015, brother.
Yeah, it's like a meshing of the two.
Yeah. And then there's... snap into a Slim Jim. All right, no, we're done. So, on those terrible, terrible poor excuses for imitations, that's enough for this week. So, let me tell you where you can find us.
Oh, okay.
You can find us on our website at ghostshipradio.com under the Bannerbox Radio tab. You can also find the show on iTunes and all of the places you get your podcasts. You can contact us directly by using the contact form on our website or by sending us an email at bbr@ghostshipradio.com. And that's all for this week.
And remember, when he first moved to Los Angeles, the actor who plays the most interesting man in the world worked as a garbage truck driver.
Thanks for joining us.
Charlie Jarn.
Yeah, Charlie Jarn?
Charlie Jarn.
That'll do.
This show is part of the Ghost Ship Radio Network. For more information, go to ghostshipradio.com.